You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Is Waddle playing?
Listed as questionable.
You know what? Thank you guys for having this conversation, because what is happening around here is disturbing to me.
What do you mean?
There are so many questions I am getting all around the room. Mike Ryan and Chris Whittingham are sniffing around all the injury reports, trying to figure out what to do with the half point in today's Bengals-Dolphins game. And as they're doing this, Stugatz, and as you're berating me in the hallway in a way, I don't know that Stugatz has ever done this to me before. He's furious at me about what I just said, and he's here on behalf of Jim Cantore.
I am. Dan, I am tired of people telling Jim Cantore how to do his job. He does his job the way he does his job, and he does it better than anyone else. Dare I say, he is the Michael Jordan of weathermen. And if he wants to be out in the middle of the street showing you how powerful this hurricane is, God bless his soul, because that's what he's trying to do. Jim Cantore standing in the middle of a hurricane is the greatest thing on TV. And he is doing a service for everyone watching, so you know, so you can feel, so you can get an idea of what these cities were going through yesterday. Jim Cantore doesn't wait for the eye of the hurricane to come to him. He seeks out the eye of the hurricane, and he stands in the middle of it. That's what he does. Yeah. It's why he's the Michael Jordan of this.
He fell down a couple times yesterday, got hit by a tree.
He's fine.
Maybe I just don't know a lot of weatherman, but I didn't know who Jim Cantore was until this
exactly.
week.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Right?
Is that true?
I didn't know who he was until
Legend.
Tuesday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You
this is a household name.
Well, but you have not.
No, but all these people on social media, do we really still need to be doing this? Yes, Jim Cantore needs to be doing this. Yesterday was Jim's Super Bowl.
There are a lot of good weathermen out there, though.
Jessica is
name them.
You're not from Storm.
Hey, it's 2022. Give some respect to the weather woman.
You are not from places where weathermen or women would have famous names, because you haven't been tracking storms, right? That's something that happens somewhere else. Right.
Well, there are some famous weathermen in the New York, like, major news.
Oh, enough with New York.
Broadcast network.
Well, not this one. Okay, regardless.
Well, Stormfield is who you're talking
second.
About.
Well, I also should say, like, name. New York and New Jersey famously hit by one of the biggest storms of the last century, 10 years ago.
And you know who is in the middle of it? Jim Cantore.
I'm just saying, like, this isn't exclusively Florida. South Carolina and Georgia and North Carolina are about to get slammed with this thing, too.
I would just expect someone who's been following weather, major weather events, to know who Jim Cantore,
the
name
Jim
Cantore.
I follow them myself, though. I look at my own radar, and I do my own weather manning.
Really?
Not that this is, Lethal Weapon and we're comparing scars, but Superstorm Sandy was super destructive. But in terms of big, like, it wasn't, like, it was half as powerful as what just hit Florida.
Yeah, we don't need to do like the
that was an infrastructure.
Storm. It caused massive devastation, displaced thousands of people. I'm saying that there are storms in other places in Florida.
Agreed. We were talking
about. I'm not
about
comparing it to other storms.
Okay. Regardless.
Dan likes to play the Miami, like, if you're not in Miami, you don't know what a weatherman is game. And I'm just saying, there's other places in the country, Dan, where weatherman come into play.
What was the game?
You didn't know Jim Cantore, and he's the Michael Jordan of weatherman.
Exactly. Well said, Mike.
Is he on CNN? Is he a cable news guy?
He's the weather
channel. His
channel
is only called Weather.
Yes,
exactly. It's wherever the eye is, that's where he is.
Oh, he's on the Weather Channel?
Yes.
It's the most trusted.
I have Twitter.com. I find all my important weatherman information on Twitter, whether it's coming from Jim Cantore or some other person whose name I don't know and their mic is wrapped in a condom. I listen to the experts, but I don't get it through cable. And that's all I'm saying. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know what channel he was on. I got my Chris Whittingham Twitter list.
That was a little look at me, Louie, by
John
the way.
John Morales.
If anybody needs to follow the storm, okay. Here's my list of all the people.
I love it every
it's
time he does
list,
that, man.
It's a good list, yeah.
So cute.
I hate to admit but like,
so how would you like me to market my Twitter list then? You want me to just tweet it out?
Don't.
Hey, wait, what?
Jace's top 10.
I'm trying to provide a public service. Which many thousands of people have taken me up on.
It's you being like, I'm better at this than all of you.
But he is.
I know, but just like, but just shoving it in my face of look how organized I am. It's just, I get it. It's helpful, but also it can be helpful and annoying all at the same time, right?
Yeah, I think that describes Whittingham pretty well.
Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Is helpful but annoying something that describes Whittingham pretty well, actually? And also put on the poll, is Jim Cantore a famous name?
Put it on the poll.
The
Michael Jordan of Weatherman.
Thank you.
Okay, that's fine.
Now I said
it. Put that on the poll. Yeah, just like that. Regardless, Stugatz was yelling at me for simply worrying for the day that I will have to see a televised Jim Cantore killed, which is what I think most people are saying. Like, these storms keep getting bigger. It seems like they keep getting more dangerous. You keep going to the eye. Yesterday, you got hit by a tree. And one day, I'm going to be watching, and Jim Cantore is swept out to sea.
No, he would have been chopped in half if he stayed broadcasting from the position because a street sign, an aluminum street sign, came flying by. Those things are heavy and sharp. It would have impaled the man. So he actually, after that, thanked his producers for getting him out of there.
He did say, it's the first time I have to go inside. I can't do this anymore. And he was frustrated by it.
Right.
He didn't want to go inside.
I felt bad. He was stood in a parking garage. Yes. And I felt bad for him because you can tell he wanted to be in the action.
He was very disappointed.
He was still kind of being whipped around in the parking garage, but it probably didn't feel the same.
Are you saying he quit yesterday? Are you saying that he wanted to get back out there?
He didn't quit, Dan.
No, but it sounds like I didn't see what you guys are describing. It sounded like
he was brought inside.
It sounds like he wanted to keep going. But he was pulled from the game,
and then grateful because it might have saved his life. There was a lot of debris, not just at street sign. There was a lot of debris that went through that. And one of the new augmentations that Weather Channel has done to their coverage is thankfully they've given their reporters these baseball helmets because the debris is literally barreling at you at 160 miles per hour. You cannot see it coming. And that's what the producer was protecting Jim Cantore from, and he was grateful.
They probably should wear, like, football helmets with, like, a face mask as well, because, like, if it hits you in the head or hits you in the face, it's hitting you. But I agree with Stugatz rather vigorously, because you see a lot of people on Twitter having a go at the Weather Channel for putting Jim Cantore out there. He wants to be out there.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that they had a meeting in the Weather Channel where they go, hey, guys, you're gonna stand outside, and we're going to put you in harm's way. Like, I don't think that was a producer's recommendation.
This is like the same argument for putting Tua back in the game on Sunday. He wants to be out here.
He's having so much fun.
For his teammates.
For the American public.
For the viewer, yes. To give you an idea. It's not about Jim. It's not look at me, Louie. It's for you. It's so you. Well, there's a little look at me, Louie. But for Jim, what he's doing there is he is giving you in New York, in Idaho, in California, in Texas, this is what it feels like to be in the eye of this hurricane. And he's great at it. He really is.
There's no disputing that. I'm not disputing that. What I'm asking you about liabilities and televised death, which is what's happening when people are complaining, hey, get him out of there. This thing is getting more and more dangerous. And one day somebody's going to get electrocuted on television because there are people dying all over the place now because of the dangers involved with reporting from there. I think it was Andrew Marchand, the sports media critic, who said this is the dumbest thing on television. And Stugatz is arguing it's the
classic
greatest
New York bias.
Greatest thing on television. And I think
it's a man doing his job and doing it very well at the highest. Yes, a weatherman.
I skew closer, I think, to Stugatz than Marchand. I want Cantore to have his freedom. I think I'm going to regret these words though if one day I'm watching and he does get hit by a stop sign and I'm watching like I've just watched somebody be seriously harmed.
Way Cantore would want to go, to be honest with you.
He went out doing what he loved.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm-hmm. His Super Bowl. Going out doing what you love. How many people could say that? Not many.
Greg Cody might have on last Friday.
Yes.
Listening to a clip of himself.
And this Friday, possibly.
Tomorrow
as well.
It better not be empty, guys. It is the biggest Cessna Cyclones match of their brief history. Reigning champions. It's a rematch of the championship game. It's on ESPN+. And one of the I know we mentioned it earlier this month, but for those big Friday night games, the winner gets money given to their charity. So on the line is a donation to Ron McGill's endowment on Friday. We're going up against our rival Wall Warriors, and this is a big one.
It's the equivalent of like Chiefs Bills or Dolphins Bills, if you will. Like it's like as good of a regular season match as you can get.
Miami has not been supporting this.
We'll
team.
Be out there if you want to take a picture with Mike.
Please talk to him.
All right,
Mike. No, I thought you said if they come out, you'd be nice.
I know. All right, I mean it this time. If you come out to the Magic City Fronton Friday, 7 o'clock for the Cyclones game, I'll take a picture with you.
That's tomorrow night. Stugatz, right now, because I was going to start this segment, and then I really was alarmed at how vigorously you defended Jim Cantore, and you badgered me into having your position.
Right.
That he's out there doing what he loves.
Welcome.
And I just worry for him, though, and I worry for the day where I'm going to have to watch something awful.
It's my favorite weatherman.
I do think this is a source of genuine tension, though, because there are some people who cover weather and cover hurricanes that view it as some sort of scientific marvel, right? That it's this, in some ways, a beautiful thing that, the world creates this thing and we have to deal with it. And they want to be in the middle of it. And there's this guy who's like in his car and he wants to be as close to it as possible to get like a reading of the air pressure.
Like Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton.
You've never seen the tornado skip that house and skip this house and come after you.
I can't believe that from yesterday.
Roy, quoting Twister.
It's one of the most amazing things that's ever happened on this show yesterday.
It was a teammate thing.
Roy, because a tornado landed close to his house and flipped over some air. Airplanes. Roy quoted tornado knowledge as if it was his own when he was just quoting, I think, Bill Paxton or Helen Hunt.
It was
Hunt
Helen Hunt's line.
In Twister.
I knew I heard it somewhere.
Before, though, you guys got launched into Cantore, what I couldn't believe, Stugatz, had happened. It's been a long time since I felt this feeling around here. I walked into the studio, and Chris Whittingham and Mike Ryan were really just dissecting injuries going into tonight's matchup and arguing about whether the half point where, because tonight's a confusing game, right?
It is, yes.
And they all are. Every one of them in that league is, and now Mike and everyone around here is doing the DraftKings, the fantasy stuff, and everything else, and Mike really does believe that the more information he has, the better he will be at betting, as Stugatz crushes everything, doing it with his gut, looking at no numbers, just swaggering in and knowing what he knows. And
in our Pick'em League, I believe we're sitting at the same number of points, pretty high up on the table, he's just going by gut, and I'm pouring over data. I'm devoting hours to this.
Well, here it is. I don't know what you guys have overturned. It's made me sad and titillated to watch you care this way about a Thursday night matchup, believing that you know something secret in the injury reports that's going to get you a half point of value as I just looked up at my television, and it happened. It happened. It was Ninkovich. It was Damian Woody. Bart Scott was up there. It was Greenberg. All of them picked the Bengals. All of them.
Wow.
This is where you are, Dolphin fans. Everybody up there picked the Bengals.
They should be plenty used to everybody picking the team that they're playing over the course of the last 20 years. That's nothing new. It's not shocking that, guys, it's not an insult that they're picking the favorite on a short week. It's a, there's nothing. If you lose this game, it's not hugely insulting to your ego or your season.
I think most people like the Bengals tonight for a lot of different reasons. They don't buy into Tua yet. They don't. They're not certain if he's healthy. They're not certain if Waddle's healthy. They just played Buffalo. It's 4 days rest, and Cincinnati needs a win.
And I've heard Chris just said football's good at football, and Dan said football's good at football. I don't even think that this is football. It's the AFC champion. They brought that. They ran the entire
but
quarterback.
It's just, no, footballing is that team's better than 1-2. Dolphins probably a little worse than 3-0. So it's just like, let's
got it.
Things are back to normal a little bit more when the Bengals win.
When I was brawling, because like the straight up discussion's different than what they were doing. Straight up, I think it's a lot easier than the spread. Spread's a little tricky. It's at a tricky number. And Whitty and I got into it a little bit over the injury report, because when trying to analyze a game, he's like, well, if you looked at the Dolphins injury report, there's so many guys over there. But his Dolphins fandom was showing. Me as an NFL guy, I was quick to point out, Bengals are very banged up too. Yeah. You can name Waddle, Higgins. Yeah, like you can go Lyle Collins, Armstead. There's a guy for a guy across. Joe Mixon has been on one ankle all season long. Their tight end one is hurt in Hayden Hurst over there. There is a lot of injuries.
He's been playing on one ankle.
Yeah.
That's just one ankle. Seems impressive.
My point,
it just goes foot, knee.
My point was, as we watched.
I've got him hopping.
Hey, Chris.
You have to hop.
You're welcome.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, Dolphins fans. Steelers banged that team up in week 1.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Soft meat tenderizer.
Mm-hmm.
We are devoted around here as a sports media to covering the holy hell out of this sport. Will you tell me why? I'm sure this is being optimized in gambling circles, but will you guys explain to me why in some mainstream place I'm not getting somebody giving me super precise information as you can get in that private world about injuries in that sport, because it affects everything we're talking about in the analysis, and you're 3 weeks in and you're telling me that everybody already is broken.
Well, I do think that the Cincinnati Bengals, if you look at their injury report, there are many more full participants than there are for the Dolphins, who had a lot of limited participation this week because they had the holy hell beaten out of them on Sunday. I do think that the Bengals are in slightly better shape, but I think that injuries probably don't figure enough in coverage because we have imprecise information from the teams. The teams are trying to lie. The teams are trying to obfuscate. They're not going to go out and say, hey, we're telling you this is how injured this person is and this body part, and they're reduced by this much. But I do think that we, in some ways, probably underrate the amount that injuries play a role in the outcomes of games. I actually think there should be way more injury coverage, because I wonder if, like, if you looked at over the course of time, either against the spread or straight up, if you just compare number of players questionable out versus the other team, how often you could accurately predict the outcome on the basis of that.
That doesn't seem very much fun. That doesn't seem
well, much time, man. Well, it's, I mean,
like,
geez.
Decades of coverage for the sport has always been so, like, why are you giving excuses? Because it's such a tough sport soaked in machismo that to explain, like, why this is happening. You see it with the University of Miami and their wide receivers. Like, they're having trouble moving the ball because they have key injuries. Still shouldn't lose a Middle Tennessee State, but that's besides the point. The analysis is always covered. Well, because
we finally got there.
No, I would say that I think the one problem with the NFL and their proclivity to always go to former players, guys that have repute, guys who themselves have toughed it out to reach the top of their sport, it's always soaked in injuries. Is not an excuse because of how that's been fortified through generations of playing football.
It just doesn't make sense to me, and I can't help but laugh at the idea of I understand the nobility in Ronnie Lott cutting off a piece of his finger to continue playing. It's why they know themselves to be more gladiator than the rest of us, because they can domineer and tough that unbelievably tough world. But if any of us had to endure those pain thresholds at work, it would not be a human or humane thing like that.
No, but it's also the job. They obviously know what they're getting into, and we're drawn to the sport in a large part because of the physicality, because of understanding that we could never do that. We could never get into the collisions just at the line of scrimmage that they do.
Well, let me ask you this question as the analysis from last week, right? Because when you talk about these two teams in a big Thursday night game, we're really talking about a couple of bounces here and there from both of them being 2-1 and it being a big game. Or, you know, the Bengals have been a disappointing 1-2 because they haven't been able to protect the quarterback. The Dolphins are going in, and nobody listening to this, I think, has any idea of how to do the math on what will their defense look like if Higgins is healthy and the Bengals offense looks like tough wide receivers. What did that game do to the Dolphins? As I've spent the last 2 days watching Bills fans and Dolphin fans argue, Stugat, about us asking Stephon Diggs about the heat. Stephon Diggs saying climate change, well, we said it on his behalf that it's the hottest game he's ever had to play,
right,
and he was really tired. And it's somehow diminishing the Dolphins to suggest, Stephon Diggs, we sort of baited him into it, to suggest that any reason for the Bills losing might have been the heat. Do any of us have a way of doing the analysis of what a team looks like 3 days after playing defense for 40 minutes against Stephon Diggs needing full body cramps, two IVs?
That's why I'm on Bengals tonight. I just think it was emotionally and physically draining. The defense essentially played two full football games in 105 degree like temperature, and I think it's with the travel day mixed in, one fewer true practice. Yesterday was a walkthrough.
The Tua injury. I mean,
there's just,
whatever it is, Mike.
Also, Cincinnati's not a bad football team.
But Mike, their offense has not been great, and the Dolphins defense has been very good.
Mike, you've been betting against Cincinnati all year. You have said,
but I was on them last week.
You were saying since last year, because of the randomness of football and because of how easy it would have been the Colts to be in the Super Bowl instead of the Bengals, because they were the same kind of team. And the Bengals got a few bounces.
They got Ryan Tannehill, thankfully.
In the playoffs, and they get to whatever it is, the 10-6 is that you expected a regression from, and then they come out the first 3 weeks of the season, and they cannot protect Burrow. They against the Jets and against everybody else.
The Steelers and the Cowboys, too. They scored 20 against the Steelers, 17 against the Cowboys.
I was on the Pro Football Focus podcast. That's not Look at Me, Louie, but they say Monson and Steve Palazzolo did point out that you had a banged up offensive line that was bad to begin with. Yeah, they put Lyle Collins out there, but he hasn't necessarily been fully available for them. And they went up against the two best pass rushers in the league in TJ Watt and Micah Parsons. And also on top of that, the coverages are the ones that historically have given Joe Burrow problems. There's a lot of internet conjecture about Joe Burrow versus a cover two. Miami doesn't play a lot of cover two, so this is a really good matchup for those wide receivers to be one-on-one. And one-on-one, Higgins, Chase, Boyd, they can win individual matchups. I don't care how good Xavier Howard is.
Why is that not our gambling segment? Why right
that
there?
Is.
Why
that is, no, but the thing is, I can pour myself into this. I could tell you every reason why Cincinnati should win this one.
No, that's right. And you'll
and
be
then
wrong.
I could be
that's
wrong.
Correct, because football will football
Dolphins,
and football. Like right. That's when I say football, when I say football is football, it's just a home team. A home team playing on a Thursday night on short rest has an advantage, period, when you look through all of those things.
Right, but here to hedge the bets, if I'm wrong on the Bengals, it means I'm actually more wrong on the Dolphins, because I'm doing a lot of that here too. If they somehow overcome, then the Dolphins are even somehow better than I hold that. I would hold them in even higher regard than I hold them right now.
Let's do it right now. Where's your thunder? Where's your Thunder Thursday? Let's do it right now. The parlay where you bet some overs and it's gonna be a hater Dolphin bet. This show is gonna seem to be anti-Tua against Tuanon when you bet a parlay that ties up all the Burrow overs, all the Chase overs, all the Bengals winning big. We unveil our Thunderous Thursday again next.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Ron Carcavice beat Caminiti in terms of rugged hand?
I think so.
What about Derek Bell?
We're talking Carcavice and Ken Caminiti. I don't think Derek Bell is in that conversation.
Hal Morris?
How about Mo Vaughn?
Mo Vaughn might be in the conversation.
Mo Vaughn's a good one, but he doesn't have rougher hands than Hal Morris. Yeah.
Did Sean Casey have rough hands?
You know what? Maybe.
Stugatz.
Good take. My good strong take on that. You know what? It's usually followed by an opinion.
The mayor. I feel like the mayor had soft hands. I do.
I do, too. I think baby soft, baby soft hands. Gentle, caressing hands. Yeah, I believe that, too.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Mike Ryan just said, he said, Witty will be bringing the picks. I will be bringing the thunder. Ladies and gentlemen,
it's a
fireworks show of This Is How We Gamble Around Here. The Le Batard Show has been truly, truly dreadful at making terrible parlay picks. We've made it Winning Wednesday and given you losers. Tony bet serial favorites, giant favorites, and we lost.
We came 1 inch away last week. 1 inch away.
It's a game inches.
From bringing the thunder on a Thursday.
Game. We had a three-team parlay that just required a Kareem Hunt touchdown. He was giving the ball on the goal line. Come on.
Like three times.
Steelers defense, though, Dano.
Yeah.
Set him up.
Steel curtain.
Witty, what are the picks? Stugatz, this is the problem with this whole segment. It's that Stugatz is saying, and I'm watching him do it, he's making actively bets on the Dolphins from company computers. he's betting the Dolphins. He keeps telling me out loud, I'm betting the Dolphins. I'm betting against everyone
that
in the room.
Dark.
I believe in him. I really do. And that hook is too tempting to pass up. I mean, I can see a three-point game. That's all.
Betting is legal now, lads. You can make bets from company computers. It's okay.
Oh.
Like, you don't have to do it under the table.
In the state of Florida, I can't place a DraftKings bet on their sportsbook.
We don't have to talk about that.
Okay, let's move on. Witty, thank you for just being a narc.
Whoa. Who's the narc here?
I mean, you started with a narc.
Damn, you were the one.
Let's begin.
Let's stay on point with the Thunder and the Thursday.
It is a Thursday night football. Same game parlay.
Same game.
We begin with any time touchdown score. Ja'Marr Chase, even odds, plus 100 for a touchdown anytime. The first leg of our SGP.
Hey,
what?
Can you tell me, Stugatz, why you sent me a photograph the other day of Uncle Colin Cowherd in a jacket with a four-team parlay that had 17-point favorite Ohio State on the money line? Like a four-team parlay with two giant favorites. I thought the joke you were making was the bet. I wasn't sure if it was the bet or the jacket.
It was the jacket, Dan.
Yeah, he's been getting dragged.
Themselves.
He's been getting dragged on the internet because his SGPs feature money lines on teams that are favored by 37.5 points.
He's crazy. Okay, but this is the problem. Mike, for years, we've been mocking all of this by, I think, 4 out of 5 years or 3 out of 5 years. We beat Colin Cowherd straight up. He was talking to the Sharps. He was breaking down films with Greg Cosell. And he was bringing you the picks, and we beat him with Carrot Top. And the world's strongest man. I want to put our picks against his picks, our parlays against his. We're terrible. He's worse.
I do not want to call more attention to our single game parlay. What's the second leg, Chris Whittingham?
The second leg. We are anticipating the Bengals to have an offensive output. And so, Joe Burrow passing touchdowns. 2+ is minus 195. Chuck it in there, Mike.
So he's just hurling the ball all over the place.
Once again, helpful and annoying.
So you have Chase with an anytime touchdown and Burrow throwing what?
Two or more touchdowns.
That's a big game. Yeah. All right, so you got a lot of scoring going on.
And then leg three of the parlay. We're actually going to go to the Dolphins now. Turn our attention. We think Tyreek Hill might be a little undervalued. Over 59.5 yards is minus 205. Throw it in there. So again, a three-leg SGP, courtesy of our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. Ja'Marr Chase, anytime touchdown scorer. Joe Burrow, two or more passing touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, over 59.5 yards. Comes out to plus 235. Get a little boost as well, Mike?
Yeah, you get a 50% boost on top of that with the Thursday single-game parlay promotion that DraftKings has. So I mean, this has to win, right? Has to.
Don't love our bet.
Ever the critic.
Can you dial down the happiness, by the way? I mean. Thank you.
Don Levitard.
One of the great benefits of being married is your wife's purse. You can put so much stuff in there.
I would hate to be your wife's purse. You walked in here the other day with silverware in a pocket.
That's right, because my wife wasn't here to put it in her purse.
Stugatz.
Your wife must be amazed at what a child you are.
What do you mean?
Just your eating habits.
How prepared I am, you need to say.
Your eating habits, the mess that your desk is.
Yeah, the mess that my desk is. I'd just like to say this right now. Every single person in here, every one of yous, has benefited from something that I've had underneath my desk. You think that I haven't give people spare socks before? Because you'd be wrong.
You're a hoarder.
I'm prepared.
Underwear.
Underwear. Chris wore my underwear once.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
When you guys were at the Super Bowl, didn't Russell Wilson sign a piece of Subway bread?
Yes.
What do we do with it?
I brought it home.
Do you still have it, Tony?
I brought it home, and I gave it to Stugatz in a plastic bag. I got to see if Stu still has it.
Yeah, we got to ask him. Here he
was
is right
that
here.
Was that the sandwich that's being advertised
yeah,
right now?
Yeah, what is it, Danger Witch or something?
Yeah.
Stugatz, where is that bread right now?
It's in my fridge.
No, it's not.
No, it is.
Yeah.
Someone gave it to me in a baggie. I put it in my fridge.
You know that's probably appreciated in value, shockingly, a lot in the last 4 days.
I should have kept it.
I had no idea, no.
Have you been following the Russell Wilson Subway drama, Subway ad drama?
No, but tell me more.
He's just getting made fun of because he made this incredibly awkward and bizarre Subway ad where he's talking to the camera and obviously no one's talking back and he's eating his sandwich and so it's getting
he's like, hey, you ever done anything dangerous?
Yeah.
Ooh, that is dangerous. He's like reacting to nothing.
I've done something like that.
it's getting stitched a lot on TikTok and now people are making it's one of those commercials, and I hate these commercials, where it's very unnecessarily quiet and like whispery. I hate when commercials whisper to me. Don't whisper. Why are you whispering? Use your normal indoor voice.
Jess, because he's been, I guess you could accuse him of being bizarre on social media. Is this his strategy? And I've been duped by just thinking he's cheesy?
No.
Is he going for this?
He thinks he's cool.
That Subway TikTok is so bizarre that I have to believe he was going for that.
It's a really weird commercial, but we are all talking about it. Nice. So if that is the strategy, it's working.
Well, let's examine Russell.
Let's get back to my bread. How much is it worth?
Russell, we'll get back to that in a second.
I want a picture of that, by the way. No, Can you get a picture of that?
I believe him. I think I saw him take it home. I saw Tony bring it. I thought it was weird. It was a piece of bread. And Stugatz will leave any amount of paraphernalia behind. Valuable things arrive here all the time. Stugatz doesn't take them. He took home that bag of bread.
I did. I mean, listen, it's not every day then that you get an athlete, a Hall of Fame athlete like Russell Wilson to sign a piece of bread, and I have it. It is rare. I just assumed it would go up in value as time went by, forgetting about the mold, but
it's in your freezer, is it not?
There's a little note attached to it that says do not throw away, do not touch. So I'm
in
hopeful.
The freezer though, not in the freezer, not the fridge. If it's the fridge, it's too long. That's molded already.
I put it in the fridge. My wife asked me about it. I said it might be valuable one day. I have no idea what she did with it after that. Hopefully it's in the freezer.
All right,
I'm going to text her right now.
I looked up the ingredients on a Danger Witch, and I don't think that he signed a Danger Witch because it's on Italian cheese and herb bread, and the sandwich that he autographed was very smooth, if I recall. Although probably not as much anymore because there's black mold growing.
I think it was just the bread, though. I think we got rid of all the other stuff.
You did, yes.
Yeah,
right. It was just the bread. It wasn't a whole sub. Right. It wasn't a sandwich.
It was
just
white
bread.
I'm not saying you took home like the provolone on the plane with you. I'm just saying, I don't know if it was the same sandwich because the bread was different.
I'm going to go back and listen to the interview to like figure out which sandwich from Subway he was promoting.
I was creepily
promoting.
Eating behind him during it. but he's like, who is this guy?
But I recall that they made a whole show out of the fact that Russell Wilson had a pen or a Sharpie or something that was capable of signing on food. That it was a relatively easy experience for him to be able to sign that piece of bread. He was like, before I go, I'm going to sign this piece of bread for you. And stunningly, we kept it. I'm surprised that Stugard still has this in his fridge, even if indeed he does.
He doesn't.
Well,
there's
I'm concerned now. No, I'm concerned because Dan is right. It needs to be in the freezer.
I think it's already something that he tried to value but doesn't know how to keep bread alive. And so therefore...
I mean, who knows?
Okay, so dollars have been rotting in his fridge. It's the Stugatz life. But the thing that I wanted to get into with you guys, because I don't know as a brand, Mike Ryan just said, rather... goofily, innocently, okay, how am I allowed to describe Russell Wilson's persona, what he's trying to give to the people as a quarterback who, I mean, the quarterbacks have brand value. He just parlayed it into a business that's 7 years extension in Denver. His personality type is what?
He's cheesy.
Cornball.
Yeah.
Alex Rodriguez.
No, I think it's...
Dwight Howard.
Ooh, the combination of the two of them. A little bit of A-Rod, a little bit Dwight Howard.
Mm. Yeah. Starlets on the A-Rod side.
Performative
cheesiness on the Dwight side.
Performative insincerity to mask lameness.
Right. trying to project mass appeal, but nobody comes away from watching any of his stuff saying, well, that guy is cool.
And you see who he's beefing with? It's the least intimidating beef in the history of beefs. Eli Manning.
Oh, wow. Man.
Because Eli made a funny joke on the Manning cast about how, because they punted a lot early in the season, they should have given their punter $235 million.
That's a good joke. Funny.
No, it is a good joke, but I saw that Eli Manning has come out and since walked it back. He's like, no.
Come on.
And then Russell went at like Chad Powers, I think is his name, and he was just like, yeah, Chad Powers, I'm 3-0 against him.
He went so scoreboard.
It was just such a beef. I was just like, this is the saddest beef ever.
Or it might be on the Danger Witch.
And the beef on the Danger Witch, am I right?
Yeah. We're trying to beat each other to the joke. You guys.
And then they fist pumped.
You guys were the Hurricane running backs running into each other in the backfield last week.
Winning all my life for a deli meat pun.
But seriously, so Russell Wilson, what he's going to do with his brand and all the power is just sort of give off you guys just made a list of insincere and
yeah, that was
and
harsh,
fraudy.
I said cornball. I just think he's just like, he thinks he's cool, and it comes off like as a guy trying to be cool. To me, maybe it is me.
Are you trying too hard? You're just trying too hard.
Like the fake hand slaps.
You don't think he knows that he's a bit corny?
I think he thinks he's cool.
I think I'm one TikTok away from actually being in on Russell Wilson because of how bizarre this experience is. I just wish the offense was way better.
Oh, now it'd be great if this was the lane he occupied because he was in on the joke, because it was performative. Yes. Because how funny would it be to be the guy who is doing art in public of, you think I'm uncool, I think this is cool, you think that's uncool, I'm the guy who played the joke on you. I don't care what you think.
That's got to be the pivot going on right now. But if he's as cheesy as I accuse, then he won't be able to pull it off. And then I'll just double down.
Well, that'll just be cheesy, right?
On my growing dislike for the Danger Russ brand.
But what is the word you use? Bizarre or what?
It is, but it's a very bizarre experience digesting his content. And maybe a sandwich.
Oh, no. Hey! Waiting all your life, you get two. I mean,
there's no chance that sub has any more value, right? It's molded. Stugatz is not valued. The thing that he took home.
The market's at an all-time high right now. You got to find a way to
sell this
to
week.
Flip that witch.
I listen. I texted Abby to see if the bread's still in the fridge. He hasn't responded yet, so I will keep you posted. I hope. I told her this could be very valuable one day. Not for the reasons you guys are pointing out, just because when does an athlete sign a piece
you
of
guys,
bread?
I'm telling you right now, as much value as Aaron Judge's home run ball.
Get out of here.
I'm telling the market is at an all-time high.
Are you kidding me?
If you go to market right now I have the most viral sandwich.
You got to get the bread.
Autographed.
You need to get out of here.
The celebrity endorsement.
You need to drive home immediately.
Go get the bread.
Go find the bread. Protect the bread.
Well, Stu will make a TikTok stitch, you and me, with the bread. It'll go viral. That's our in.
I'm telling you, 100%. I'm going to set the floor at $5,000.
Okay. Untold riches.
Yeah. In terms of the bid that you'll get.
Now, just so everyone's clear. Sorry.
Again, you guys.
You're
and
on
I,
the phone?
How do you explain this to your wife?
She's on the phone right now. I can hear her conversation.
Put her on speaker.
You might want to step out for
you know
a second or talk to the producers. If
no, no, no,
can
no.
Do
just
something.
Put her on speaker.
Well, now he's walked out of the
room. We do it with Ron all the time on Mystery Crate.
Put her on speaker.
Dude, why did he step on out? Mystery Crate.
Oh, I because his wife's on the phone with somebody else. I don't know whether she's dealing with something or not, and he's just interrupted her.
What could be more important than this?
Nothing could possibly, obviously. But before we get to the bread. And back to the value of the bread. As it relates to Russell Wilson, you guys just put him, I think, to people listening to this who like sports, in the worst category. That A-Rod and Dwight Howard is that category of, oh, we're in consensus on we don't agree much about anything emotionally about who these people actually are. But these people, we know we don't like them because it feels kind of fraudy. Is there a worse category than that? Like, you guys just put them in the worst category. Because even guys who are bad or misbehaviors, you can.
I think you're being very hyperbolic. Yes, there's the Deshaun Watson category. He's not even the worst NFL quarterback. But in terms of failing on trying to be cool, in terms of social capital, is a huge grievance.
Still in the freezer.
I need proof of life. I need a photo with today's
newspaper. I asked her to take a picture of it and send it to me, please. That's what I said.
I need today's newspaper in the photo.
Because I told her it was very valuable. And so I could kind of hear a little tinge of doubt with Abby. Like, oh my God, did I save it? Because he asked me to save it.
Yeah.
And now she's going to the freezer.
Do you think she might have thrown it out? Because she can't believe that the bread would have any
I told her it's
value.
Very valuable. I said, remember that guy I showed you hit that 61st home run last night? I said, it's as valuable as that ball.
Yep.
She said, I'm going to look for it. I'll take a picture. I'll send it to you.
All right. Do you have the picture?
Well, she hasn't sent it All yet.
Right. But you believe that you have this?
I believe my wife. I did.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, look at you. Sugats and Subway, both making bread.
This piece of bread traveled all the way from Los Angeles to Miami.
In a baggie.
Back to Central Florida.
Tony's got to get a cut.
In a bag.
Tony's got to get a cut because he delivered
Mike
it.
Mike, definitely getting a vig on this one. Stu, me, you, 50-50, huh?
Okay, 90-10 my way.
I don't know about that.
Why would I give you a cut? You could have kept it.
I was
it.
The one that brought it home.
I know.
I was ready to throw in the bin. He was going to throw it away. No vision from this guy. I ripped it off. I took the tomato, the lettuce, all the bullshit that was on it.
Right.
I put it in a baggie myself. I airtied it.
You did the work.
Yeah, I did the work.
You brought it back for me, though. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you asked me for it. I could
did.
Have kept it.
You could have.
All right, 70-30.
It's what I would have done.
70-30.
You gave us the sound effect for airtight, too.
Yeah.
Excellent job.
Yeah.
Wouldn't expect you to call salami and pepperoni garbage, Tony.
No. I didn't say salami pepperoni. I said there's like mustard on it. There's tomato, lettuce, onions.
Banana peppers.
Scoop that out.
All right. I'll give you a piece.
Thank you.
You got it.
Of the actual sandwich.
Hey,
the boy's on fire.
It's on fire.
Guy.
Doing a whole set on a sub. I mean.
Can we examine the beef? Can we examine the...
Stay in your lane.
Look who's getting in on the action.
The Eli Manning, Russell Wilson beef. Let's examine it.
Leave this lane provolone.
All right, that's enough for hour one.
So good, Mike.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for occurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.